Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. A little bit late today, my fault, and certainly not Jim's. Going to talk a little bit about the bad turn that's going on in the Ukraine for Russia. It looks like they're not doing too well over there. I'd like to get your comments first, Jimmy. I've been reading about that all day. What do you have to say about that?
I think that they overestimated their capabilities. They underestimated the strength of the resolve of the Ukrainian people. And of course, the logistics and weapon support that's coming from NATO and Western European countries significant. So I think, you know, they're facing significant casualties that actually resulted, resorting to complete kind of World War II tactics of destruction in order to force the enemy out. And I think that's hardening is not going to help them. I think the Ukrainian forces have gotten very adept at bringing them into what they call a fire sack or an engagement area, and then taking out their armored vehicles. And I also think the morale is pretty low. They've had significant casualties. So,
well, it's kind of
very problematic for them.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you hear that the Russian troops have been known, have been ordered to shoot soldiers that are leaving.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. You know, again, this is what happened under Stalin's regime, where the second echelons didn't even have weapons. So the first echelons went forward and were killed. The second echelons would pick them up. And then, of course, the third echelon had weapons to shoot the first and second that started to run. It's not good for morale. And I don't think in this day and age, with all the information and the technology and communications and cell phones, that they're going to be able to keep a lid on that type of activity. And I don't think they're going to have the discipline, the self-discipline, or the military discipline to enforce a continued operation like this for very much longer.
So what do you think is going to happen, Jimmy?
So I think this is going to turn into kind of a war an attempt to be a war of attrition.
Yeah.
But again, I think the Russians are on the downside of that. So I think probably within the next few weeks, there's going to be some attempts by Putin to consolidate gains in the east and protect that corridor that I believe he was after in the first place.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably come to some sort of negotiated settlement the Ukrainians right now are not backing down. They're not accepting these peace offers because they feel, although they're having casualties, nowhere near as significantly as the Russians. And they're fighting for their home. They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
This is it. There's nowhere else.
Right.
I think it's going to get ugly still for another week or two. But
when you say it's going to get ugly, tell me what you mean.
I think that Putin is going to, his commanders are under intense pressure. He's relieved a number of them, including his chief general staff. And of course, they've had, I think, at least four general officers killed in combat.
Yeah.
So he's putting more pressure on them. And what that means is they'll resort to, again, using massive weapon strikes against targets randomly in order to intimidate. They're not having an effective counterinsurgency type of warfare plan. And that's what they're facing. So I think for a little while, it's probably going to get uglier and probably more civilian casualties, certainly more casualties on Ukrainian side, but more importantly, a lot of devastated real estate and buildings and catastrophic events that shouldn't be too acceptable.
Jimmy, any comments on chemical or nuclear weapons by the Russians?
So, you know, we've heard that President Biden has said, you know, they're potentially could use them and blame them on someone else. And there's a lot of posturing back and forth. I don't think there's going to be an effective use of chemical or biological weapons in this type of a battle. when you're fighting an insurgency, it doesn't really help you unless you're trying to do mass casualties. And if they do mass casualties in a civilian area with some sort of chemical weapon,
right.
I mean, there's always the potential for a false flag. But if, in fact, they resort to that out of desperation, that's likely, in my view, likely to go over the limits for Western European countries and some NATO members to take action and intervene.
Jimmy, let's talk about some kind of false flag. Any thoughts?
So, you know, there's always the possibility from both sides. And of course, I watched this over and over again in the Balkans and in Afghanistan and Iraq, where, you know, certain groups would be willing to sacrifice their own population, their own people, in order to blame the others. And there is that potential. But there's the battle lines here. It makes it complicated for anybody to use that type of a false flag effectively. It's not in Ukraine's advantage at this point because they seem to be doing quite well on the battlefield. The Russians attempting to blame the Ukrainians to give justification for higher, you know, more force doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me either, because they're struggling already and they're using basically what capabilities they have, with the exception of nuclear or chemical. There's a level of rationality that I think Putin had when he attempted to do this. I think his information was bad. He overestimated his capabilities. And now I think he's trying to figure out a way out to save face and to continue on as a leader in Russia. And that's actually going to be the more complex problem for him, because there are people inside his inner circle that are beginning to significantly question the continuation of this effort.
I think it's a really big challenge for Putin right now. I never thought it would turn out this way, I got to tell you. I thought that Putin would diplomatically exit when he saw that everybody was against him, but he didn't have the sense to do that. That's what he should have done, in my opinion, way back when.
Yeah, the unfortunate part about it was, you know, his ego and the fact that, you know, that's just not in his character to back down. A lot of people think that's a positive, you know, role of leaders. But in this case, I think it was a bad judgment from the beginning. And I've said from the beginning, I'll continue to say it, I think he lost this before it started.
Well, I think the one thing that he didn't count on, and this is just a guess on my part, but it's pretty well-educated guess, I think he was counting on a little bit more support from China. And, you know, the Chinese aren't stupid. They knew this was a stupid move.
So, you know, I think they definitely want the Russians to be more dependent upon them. And, of course, with this latest, these gas and oil contracts that the Russians have given to the Chinese, that's very beneficial. It keeps paying the bills, at least for, you know, their efforts, their war efforts. But in the long run, you know, I think the Chinese baited them partly to say they supported it to see what would happen and see if they would be able to take action in Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, what they've seen is, you know, hey, the Russians have not done well. And of course, you know, the Chinese military is a different game, but so is the Taiwanese military. Very well trained, very sophisticated, a lot of high tech capability, a very powerful air force. Nowhere near the size of China, but technologically probably superior. And of course, it would be an incredibly ugly battle, and it would basically isolate China from, many European and Western markets, and it would be tough for them to do it. So I think the Chinese support for Russia and for Putin is going to be there behind the scenes, and I think they like the idea of Russia being dependent on them, and they probably will get better contracts on oil and gas energy, which they need.
Yeah.
And then they've also will probably get some, you know, mining and some other rights in some areas to help them out long run. So, you know, the Chinese always play the long game. I think they're going to be, you know, again, they're having some difficulties with many things, but I don't think they're going to be too far behind in, after this effort. I think they're
going to
let the Russians step out and get kind of pounded here, hoping they do better.
I noticed something interesting in the coverage today. One of them was that, U.S. and, other country sanctions against Russia didn't seem to really include oil and gas. But I noticed that Jamie from, I forgot Jamie's last name, but he recommended to...
Jamie Dimon?
I'm sorry?
Jamie Dimon?
Yeah, Jamie Dimon recommended that the U.S. Really go as far as they could and as fast as they could in terms of discovering new natural gas. I was somewhat happy to hear that.
Yeah, so, you know, the problem is not searching for new. It's actually getting the permits to use what's available. And that's the problem with this administration.
Right.
They're on an ecological green policy. They want to put pressure on gas prices to go up,
right,
force people in electric vehicles. So, you know, that's been inconsistent with their policy to try and lower and produce more oil.
Right.
The problem is it's politically just disastrous for them. And I think, you know, we're all feeling the pinch of the inflation, and we haven't even seen these numbers for the last, you know, month and a half yet. It's going to be, in my view, going to be incredibly ugly.
Define ugly in this case, Jim.
I'm thinking probably close to, you know, in the 9% range for inflation.
Yeah.
So we'll probably get nine tenths or maybe a percentage of increase, if not higher. And I think that'll even be a skewed number that won't completely capture what the oil and energy prices were.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know, there's a little bit of delayed response with the transportation distribution and, of course, the overall prices of the manufacturing. You know, so many things are produced with petroleum. We're not going to see the effects for those for months, you know, with the production costs and the transportation distribution costs. So it ain't going to get better anytime soon. And that's what I mean by it. It's probably going to get ugly. And, of course, as the Fed tries to, you know, intervene to stop it, it's just going to be kind of a potentially very just disturbing economic picture.
You know, Jimmy, you and I talked about inflation yesterday, the inflation numbers, and even most of my Democratic friends, including the professor who lives down the street from me, dyed-in-the-wool liberal, econ prof, he said these inflation numbers are stupid. Everybody knows they're at least 7.5% right now.
Yeah, I actually think they're higher. And if you go back to the pre-1982 numbers, the way they did the consumer price index,
right,
then you'd see a much higher rate now. So, you know, it all depends on how they skew the statistics. And, of course, this administration is no stranger to trying to spin anything, and that's all they do.
Yeah.
Of course, all parties are doing it, but these guys are exceptionally adept at spinning a lie, and I'm getting kind of old.
Well, you know, the numbers that you and I talked about yesterday that I think are really pretty silly are, for example, I can see the decrease in the deficit because that was only over 2 months. But I sure don't see the deficit being cut by $1 trillion this year, Jim.
Oh, I think it's completely fraudulent spin on this. I'll just say that had Biden got any of his plan in, you know, full on, it definitely wouldn't have been the same. So,
right.
You know, again, you're seeing the results of, you know, post COVID numbers for growth.
Yeah.
Because people are breaking out of that, which increased it. But you still have this crazy labor issue, you know, not enough labor out there.
Right.
You still have just quite a few problem areas in the economy with supply chain, you know, not even including the inflation. And, of course, the number of, you know, workers that were put out because of the vaccination issues, it's quite, you know, it's a very confusing and I think a very problematic picture for everybody, and certainly for investors.
Well, it is certainly for investors. I don't see the markets aren't exactly going to town right now. I'm pretty happy that my little nest egg is certainly not falling down in value right now, and I'm very happy about that. But I do have to say that it would appear that some of the numbers that came out yesterday during Biden's speech to the whatever it was, economic, the speech he gave in it would appear that those numbers were a little bit off the wall. But I do have to say this, in all fairness, depending on what happens in the Ukraine, I think the U.S. is looking kind of okay right now in terms of support. Any comments on that?
Well, you know, we're providing a large amount of military support, and of course, there's been training in other areas that way. Right. Politically, it's a little bit confusing, and yeah. I think, you know, Biden's trip to NATO, European leaders, they need leadership. The U.S. fills that role usually, and unfortunately, they don't really have a good foreign policy plan to go forward either direction with Ukraine. So I think the Ukrainians are doing it pretty much on their own and against a lot of headwinds from people, even some of their allies and some of their friends.
Yeah.
But I think the U.S. is doing a little bit. We certainly should have been doing more prior to avoid the conflict.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only comment I would make is I think you're going to see Volodymyr Zelensky's picture on the front page of Time magazine as the man of the year. Jimmy, we're up to almost 16 minutes. Let's cut it. You drive safely, okay?
You bet, Al. We'll talk to you later.
God bless.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.